Well, good morning, and we'd like to greet everyone this morning again in the precious name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. I had to think, reading as Jonathan read through Isaiah chapter 1 there, is that still a prophecy of what we see happening or what's going on with Israel today? I mean, it's like there's a lot of things there that are very, you know, directed. I know Israel there was supposed to be his people, and that we see Israel as the country doing lots of things that are because they think they have the power to do it, because they think they're the ones that, and lots of countries have supported them, because you can't go against Israel, because Israel is God's chosen thing, and they're far from that. And a lot of the prophecies as Jonathan read that, just reflected, is like, is this what's happening today? Is this what's happening today? Is it coming true? But anyways, I would open with just a few verses here in Ephesians, chapter 3, I guess, that we recognize a calling, I guess, recognizing this would be a good thing to read and reflect on in regards to all the, you know, the negative that we had in, that was given to us about forwardness and evil and the thing that we're surrounded about in the world today. But he says here, for this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. And this is just communicating this as a body of believers, as Christians, that we would encourage each other in this, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, ye being rooted and grounded in love. You see how that verse would just dispel all the other, the forwardness and the things about worrying about our neighbor and the things that we had discussed. May be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. That's just my, I saw them verses and I thought, that's my greeting to you this morning, I guess, to each and every one of us, that we would be, that Christ would dwell in our hearts by faith, that we're rooted and grounded in love, that we're able to comprehend the depth, the height, the length of the love of Christ that passes knowledge, and it keeps us, and that Christ is able to do exceedingly abundantly above anything that we ever even ask or think. So I'm going to read Romans chapter 12, I guess, this morning, and just giving a little bit of a foundation for the message, I guess, or of a having a vision or keeping our vision and supporting our visions of each and every, I think we have, each of us has a goal or vision, you know, in mind in life and things that we want to do and accomplish and come across. And then also corporately, you could say as a, you know, as a business or as a shop, you would also have some, you know, visions and things there, and also as a body of believers. And then also corporately, you could say with other Christians and the people that are serving Christ throughout the world, you know, and just an encouragement in that, I guess, and encouraging that we would keep these things alive and see them, you know, as goals or as things that need to be strengthened, and that we can walk in the footsteps that God has chosen for each and every one of us to walk. So, Romans chapter 12, I guess. So let's stand to read this. Let's refresh ourselves a little bit. So So it says, it talks about the chapter or the title above, it says holiness enjoined, and then practical duties that are recommended. I wrote the practical duties that are recommended, or sundry practices, it says, that of practical duties recommended. So it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good, the acceptable, and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts, differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teacheth, on teaching. Or he that exhorteth, on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, with diligence. He that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionated one to another, with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind, one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. You may be seated. So the verses three to five, of being holiness being enjoined. He tells us here that for the grace of God that is given to all men, that is given to each and every one of us, there's no place for us to think more highly of ourselves than someone else. But to think soberly, according to God, hath dealt with every man, he is given a measure of faith. And then he says how we are members of one body, but we don't all have the same office. But we're one body in Christ, and everyone members of one another. So we are, you know, we're a body that is, as Christ's children, as Christ's people, functioning together individually, like I said, and corporately, and may that be in our work, in the work that we do, in that we're a part of, or if it's an individual business or whatever it may be, to promote and to help us in our walk with God. And so the vision that we have, or the goals that we have, are the things that I think help promote and keep us moving forward. Without it, we become complacent, or complacent is the word, I guess, and we would just drift, not knowing where we're really going, what we're doing, what the goal, what the objective is. And there's verses that relate to that a lot. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there's no vision or no revelation, it says the people will cast off restraint, but happy is he that will keep the law. Another verse, where there is no vision, the people will perish, it says. Giving a small illustration of this, about, I used the little saying in my head that I remembered back in going to school, where it said 1620, do remember pilgrims landed in December. So that's 405 years ago. And they, you know, just to give a little illustration, and this is not necessarily exactly how it went, but you can see what happens in our country, I guess. A group of pilgrims landed on the shores of America. With a great vision and courage, they come to settle a new land. So in their first year that they was here, they established a town. What was the name of that? Plymouth Rock, right? Yeah, Plymouth Rock, I think. They established a town. In the second year, they elected a town council. In the third year, the government proposed building a road 5 miles westward into the wilderness. But in the fourth year, the people tried to impeach the town council because they thought such a road into the forest was a waste of public funds. Somehow, these forward-looking people had lost their vision. One time they was able to see all the way across the ocean, a new land. Now they couldn't even look 5 miles ahead. They said, we can't do this. That's just a very vision. And sometimes that's what happens. I mean, we do have need for the long range vision, but we also have need for a short range vision, you could say. When we lose sight of that, when we have none, but it's also an example of how people can cut you down, so to speak, or, you know, want to nullify the goal or the vision that you have. And, you know, Apostle Paul is a good example of this. When he set out in his journey that he made in setting up churches and, you know, the calling that he was called to, God knocked on the door of his heart and give him, you know, people and places and understanding of what he wanted to do. And as he did that, as he listened to God and followed him, you know, God give him instructions and give him more clarity and give him the go word, you could say. So in Acts 15, verse 36, Paul had told his people after they had made their first missionary journey, let's go back and let's visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they're doing. He wanted Paul was simply responding to that burden, to that responsibility of God told him that, you know, to go out and spread the gospel and to ordain elders and set up, you know, churches and stuff. So he wanted to go back. In Acts 16, there, verse 6 to 10, when Paul was in that trance or in a vision that he had, and there was a man from Macedonia stood in front of him there. He saw that and was pleading for him to come over to Macedonia and help them. You know, God showed him that. And he was, it was put into his heart. It was birthed there. And that was a goal. It was a vision that he had. It took him a while, you know, to get there. We could read a couple of them articles, I guess. It's Acts 16. There's probably more verses there than just a couple that I pointed out. But just to verse 5 there in 16. And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. Now when they had gone through Perga and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bethania, but the Spirit suffered them not. And so, you know, he was in tune to what God was, and things were not working out. They came to Troas, and then verse 9, it says, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over unto Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately, it says, we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. And they left loose from Troas there. They set sail. The next day they came to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony. And we were in that city abiding certain days. And it just goes on, you know, how that was fulfilled. And then in chapter 17, verse 15 and 16, and they that conducted Paul brought him into Athens, and receiving a commandment unto Silas and Timotheus for to come to him, with all speed they departed. Now while Paul waited for them in Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. So, and there, you know, there for a righteous cause, it says he disputed in the synagogue with the Jews and tried to and show them that, you know, that this unknown God that they were worshiping is a God that he knows and that he will tell them about him. And he shared that with them. So, you know, and we go through the book of Acts and we see that happening in Paul's life, you know, time after time again. He was shown things, he acted upon him, and the things that came, that came to pass with that. The vision was there and remained constant. Did he face oppositions? Yes, he faced a lot of oppositions, you know. So what is the overall vision for, you know, for the purpose of the body of Christ? Is supposed to be mature. They want, it should be joined together like bone is unto bone, to represent his fullness on earth, so the gospel can go forth, be spread to all nations, and bring people to Christ. Ezekiel 37, let's look at Ezekiel, I guess this is. Let's look at this. This is, I never thought of this, I guess, what all this meant, and it may have more meetings than just what I have here, but we know this. I don't know if we heard the song. I'm sure we have heard it. The song about dry bones rattling, I guess. So here was a vision or a purpose that God gave Ezekiel. So let's just start reading in chapter 37 there. It says, "The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of a valley which was full of bones." Get the picture here. I don't know how big this valley was, but I can imagine it was a fair size, and it was nothing but bones in front of him. "And caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest." You know, he just like put it back in God's power and strength. He said, "I don't know, but you know." "And he said unto me, Prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O you dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter unto you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and you will bring up flesh upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord." And Ezekiel says this, so I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. "And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, Prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, Thus saith the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. And so I prophesied, as he commanded me, and breath came unto them, and they lived, and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, Our bones are dried, and our hope is lost, and we are cut off of our parts." So he brought back to life, you could say, as a representation, as a house of Israel there. There's probably many more, you know, meanings that can come out of that, but he does talk about, you know, us being in Ephesians there, of how the purpose in the body of Christ, or the vision that we have. Ephesians chapter 4 speaks to the church coming to the measure of the stature of Christ, to a perfect man being joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, and growth for the whole body, it says. Matthew 24:14, it says, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come." So the bigger picture, you know, for us all, is that, and to fit into our personal vision or our corporate vision, is that, you know, God can show you, and like he showed Ezekiel there, a much greater thing than that you'd thought was ever possible. And he was doing that, I think, to refresh him, to show him that nothing's impossible with God. And it was the reward that comes with that. And like I said, we have an enemy. We need to acknowledge that. We have Satan who looks to dim our vision, to destroy our hopes and our dreams and everything that he possibly can through many, many resources that he has to fight in here. But we know that also that he is defeated, has been defeated, and will stay defeated if we can, again, continue just to press on in God. He wants to keep us from doing God's will. He wants to blind us or dim our vision, whatever he can, so we become effective. So in 2 Corinthians 4, we have examples of this. says, "But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine on them." And we're also told to not be ignorant of his devices. In 2 Corinthians 2:11, "Lest Satan should take advantage of us, we should not be ignorant to the many ways that he tries to deceive us." So one thing that can happen, we read in Isaiah 59, he told them there, it says, they group for the wall like the blind and stumble at noonday as it was twilight, and it was because of their sins being multiplied before the Lord. So there needs to be, you know, we're not perfect. There needs to be ongoing repentance. You know, like Jonathan prayed in his prayer this morning, it's like, God, forgive us of the things that we have failed in, the things that we have. And God is able to do that, to forgive them daily, hourly, or however often that we need to ask. Acts 3:19 says, "Repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that the times of refreshing," it says, "would come from the presence of the Lord." So those are things that can dim our vision, our view. Broken relationships between, you know, not to let an offense between brother or sister turn to bitterness, but that we would forgive one another, lift one another up, and not to become spiritually blind. 1 John 2:9-11, "He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother will abide in the light, and there is no cause of stumbling within him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes." Other things that can dim or take away our vision, our goals, and our, you know, the dreams that we have, and also the things that God is showing us and asking us to walk in that light and to walk towards and be with. It can be carnality, as it says, lust the eye, lust the flesh, and the pride of life. We talked about pride this morning a little bit, and how that was definitely, you know, a stumbling block, a downfall of mankind. And it starts in Genesis. It says, "When Eve saw the tree that was good for food and pleasant to the eye, she took of that, and then immediately her eyes was opened to their end." It was open to their carnal state, and it was closed to their, you know, what God had created for them. And Abraham and Lot, you know, Lot's desire was to go towards that city that had the most to offer him. He looked at the earthly and the carnal things, and it caused him to lose his vision with God. And we know what happened then to, also an example of Lot's wife, when she turned to look back, you know, when he was being led out of that city, and she still had the carnal and earthly vision of what was there and what she was losing, and she stayed standing there as a pillar of salt. Psalms 119:37 tells us to turn my eyes from looking at worthless things and revive me within your way, so that we have a focus on that. Another thing can be maybe too much focus on our past can cause a dimness. And that's the example of Lot's wife there. She became that pillar of salt. She couldn't see what God had in front of her, offering her, and escape in keeping her, you know, from Sodom and Gomorrah there being burnt. And we also know what Paul said. One of his, you know, quotes that he gives to us, and we should remember him. He said, but one thing I do, he said, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forward to those things which are ahead, to press on toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. If we spend a lot of time, and I know sometimes I have things, you know, I'm faced at work or whatever, and like, how am I going to overcome this difficulty? What can I do? And right now, it's like, one thing is like, all of a sudden they told me my trusses can't be delivered until November. And, you know, this house is ready to frame, and I don't want to wait a month or maybe another, at least 4 or 5 weeks. I'm not sure how, but, you know, I put a plea out there. Can you do something? You know, can you help me out? And if I focus on that every day, it's like, you know what it does? It's going to get me down. So spending too much time looking or focusing on difficulties can cause blindness. And it can be in the same situation you're in with your lawsuit. You know how much time and focus and effort that has taken and stolen away from looking down the road a mile, you know, looking down the road 500 feet, because it just stops you, doesn't it? It's just like every day it's a depressing thing. And Satan tries to point that out to us sometimes, you know, the difficulties that lie ahead and how you're going to overcome this and what are you going to do? Instead of looking at the promises of God's word, I'm with you, my grace is sufficient for thee, you know, all the promises that we have in the word of God. we have those examples also, just the Old Testament examples of Joshua and Caleb. You know, when they sent the 10 spies, when they sent the spies out to check out the land, you know, what did they come back with? What was their report? You know, where was their focus on? Everything that's all around them. There's giants. We can't do this. Insurmountable. You know, there's no way. And Joshua and Caleb were the ones that their focus was, again, in tune with God. And they knew what God was able to do, what he'd done in the past, and his promises toward them. And as a result of that, again, the nation of Israel, you know, was saved, or was it give them a new vision, a new goal. But if they would have just followed after the other ten had said, well, there'd been eight, I guess, if there was 10 that went, they would have failed to accomplish what God set before them. We have a New Testament example of the very same thing in Peter. When he was out there in the boat and he saw Christ coming toward him, you know, walking on the water, they first thought it was a ghost and then realized that it wasn't, you know. And what was Peter's request? He says, you know, that bid me to come to thee. And Jesus said, come. And he stepped out. He attempted to walk on that water because his focus and vision was on Christ. And we know that if he would have not looked around him, would have not saw the waves coming, he probably could have walked right to Christ. But he started sinking, and Jesus again, still even in that weak moment of him going down, reached out his hand and saved him. And so that's what he'll do for us. You know, when he began to focus on his problem that was right there around him, his vision had went away. His, you know, he lost the sight the focus, and he began to sing. So I think our most important, you know, concept that we can get out of from all this is look unto God, whereby our help comes. You know, look up instead of looking at the earth and all the problems that are surrounding us. So 1 Corinthians 13:12 tells us that now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. So that's a good reflection of that we don't there's someday all answers will be given, you know, because we don't always see everything clearly. But we do need to incorporate or do need to think about and know and keeping our faith and our walk, you could say, alive and be refreshed in the Lord. Like this morning is a good day, you know. And John tells us how to do this. John 16, you want to turn to that. We have lots of scriptures that help us with our focus. In keeping our fellowship and with one another, and keeping in fellowship, we're in tune with the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God that lives within each and every one of us. You know, we are a vessel. Let's see which verse is it here. Okay, let's look at verse 13. John 16, verse 13 says, well, in verse 12, he says this, you know, and he probably has this for each and every one of us too. He says, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. You know, I don't know if we would be able to see our entire path out here, we wouldn't be able to bear it, would we? If you would just go back 5 years and be able to see this last 5 years that you had, would you be able to bear that burden? Would you be able to bear everything that has come in your past? Probably not. So that's a blessing. But he says here, John is saying, or this is Jesus' word saying, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. So don't fret sometimes if we can't see the end of tomorrow. You know, it may be that we cannot bear it if we would be able to see that far ahead, like those people seeing 5 miles into the wilderness. But we also are asked to walk in faith. It says, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. So we can take comfort in that. I think we can take comfort in that. And then he goes on, he tells us that the reason of this, he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things, Jesus is saying, that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. In a little while, and you shall not see me, and again a little while, and you shall see me, because I go to the Father. So just think of those words. You know, Jesus is telling us here that he will show us things to come. He will give us step by step, and he will do that if we follow in that to bring glory to God, his Father. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. And everything that God has given to Christ, Christ asks him that he shows it unto us. So there gives us an example of, you know, having a relationship with Jesus Christ our Lord and being refreshed and being renewed in the Spirit and the Holy Ghost. So 2 Corinthians 13:14, he tells us, Paul writes there, it says that the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and that the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit would be with each and every one of us. I think that's the blessing that we can stand and support each other in, and encourage each other with, as a church, as a corporate, as a body of believers, and as individuals, has our goals and desires that are out there, and visions that are out there, and then also, you know, corporately support the ones that are Christianity the world over, you know, that are following Christ. Also see that, you know, the goal of spreading the gospel. We may not be here or there ourselves, but we can support the ones that are, you know, spreading the gospel, that have the vision of that. And that that the communion of the Holy Spirit would be with each and every one of them corporately. I don't have a whole lot more. I talked kind of fast this morning, I guess. I went through this a little quicker than I anticipated. I do have, there's Woodrow Wilson. I found a quote that he said here. We grow great by the dreams that we have. It says, all big men are dreamers. This is just, they see things in the soft haze of a spring day or in the red fire of a long winter's evening. Some of us let these dreams die, but others will nourish them and protect them. Nourish them through the bad days till they bring them into the sunshine and light, which comes always to those who sincerely hope that their dreams will come true. And then he said at the end of that, he said, don't let anyone steal your dream. So that was, Woodrow Wilson, I guess, was president. I'm not sure what year it was, but it was a quote that I found that he had. When he said, don't let anyone steal your dream. So I'm open for sharing your testimony. Share your thoughts on any of this, or just take a little time, I guess.